First of all, Sammy, can you tell me, what a band will do, going into the writing recording process this time around?
It was actually really smooth, and it was really good. I mean, we've worked with Eric Rutan, this is my third one, ever working with Eric, and, we know what we're supposed to do when we work. I mean, there's a certain regiment that you have to, when you work with Mr. Rutan, and basically, that rule is don't fuck around and have shit together, extremely. So, I mean, working the first time with him, I mean, the first time, kind of like a trial by fire, I guess you could say, and we made a lot of mistakes. And, hello?
Yeah, I'm listening, yeah.
Right there, sorry. It was kind of like a trial by fire with the first one where, you know, it was like, it was our first time working together, we didn't know really how to prepare ourselves to go in with, but after that, where we went into farming out the eyes of God completely, you know, we knew what to expect working with, and especially on this new one, was the master. We totally, you know, were thoughtful and knew what we had to do before we even put in the studio with Eric. So it was just a matter of being really prepared, and being prepped for any bad situation that might happen, and being prepared to deal with it.
Why do you feel that relationship has lasted for several albums with Eric? Eric, bands worked with Eric now on several albums. Why do you feel that is the case? Why has the band continued to work with Eric?
I mean, there's a lot of bands that will work with him that have worked with him in the past that won't work with him again. But Eric is a very intense person to work with. And I feel that strength our band. To work with somebody back in. Whereas not being intimidated by, you know, the way he works. But a lot of bands that have gone from past, just, you know, he is so stern in what he needs. He feels he needs to pull out of a band that it can be a little, scary sometimes. But, I mean, I find that, you know, that for us, where we need someone that can push us over that edge, where the final product come out absolutely flawless. So
basically, then it's a case of Eric, sort of making the band raise its game. Then.
Wait, take it. Sorry.
So basically, then it's a case of Eric, more or less. Spurring the band on to raise its game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You have to. You when you work with Eric, you can't be a sensitive person. You have to be, you know, almost ready for anything to work with him. And a lot of people, like us, it's like a lot of bands that work with him that just speak. The intensity from work, but I guess that's what weeds out the weak band strong. So, and that's why we're repeatedly going to work with them, because we are thrive off that. So.
You said that this album is an experimentation and how much more metal Goathawk can get. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, as far as true metal, I mean, I find, this is just my opinion, that I think that metal, as far as just really extreme metal, especially, is losing its focus on actual, the metal habit, where it's becoming more of, the music is becoming more sterile. And becoming more of a fashion show
referring to these band, some of these bands who like take death metal and mix a lot of other stuff in with it, so it's not like it like strays away from the old school death metal or not.
I know what you're talking about. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like, but it's not only death metal, you know, it's metal in general nowadays is become so, I guess you could say, cross-pollinated, which is not a bad thing. You know, to take different influences from different things and all that. But I mean, it's lost, with a lot of bands, I guess you could say, you know, especially some of these, like, newer death metal bands or black metal bands, lost. It's become more of a beat on numbers thing, more of a trend, more of a fashion show, actually, a feeling, you know, where these people that are playing this music, they don't feel people in their heart, and they don't feel the hate and yelling comes out through their music.
So with that being said, is this like a, do you feel this is a full-on death metal album then?
Or you want?
Yeah.
I wouldn't really call it a death metal album. I mean, there's definitely death metal influence on there. There's definitely some black metal on there. There's definitely thrash metal influence. I would just rather call it an extreme metal album. Because, I mean, I don't feel that we can be pigeonholed into a certain genre. But, I mean, some people look at us and listen to us and call us black metal. And other people say, well, they're not a black metal band. They're a death metal band. And vice versa, you know. So I don't really see us actually being put in a certain genre category. As far as black metal, death metal, or anything, I see this as an extreme metal band.
Do you get pissed off with these genre debates? Because I know I get really pissed off with them, to be honest. People arguing over what genre is what and all this sort of thing.
Not really. I mean, I find that whole thing is easier for people to categorize music. Which, I mean, it's been there from day one. I mean, what is classic rock? Or what's hard rock? What's soft rock? You know? I mean, it's always going to be people that's going to try to categorize stuff. So, you know, just to keep things in order, I say. So it doesn't really piss me off. Just, I guess, I think people to be back, as far as, like, people that want to say, hey, all I listen is death metal, and I listen to death metal. That's what is wrong. So it's good music, and it's heavy. And who cares if it's death metal, or thrash metal, or black metal, or sludge, or doom metal, you know? That's what really pisses me off, is people trying to categorize their own mind, you know, where it's like all listening. I mean, that is just ignorant, too, and it's limiting yourself in being, is making you look like a moron.
That's definitely a valid point. You said this newer one was a lot harder to write. Why was that the case?
Wait, again?
You said this new album was a lot harder to write. Why was that the case?
It was just, we are very, very particular when we start writing the music. So, I mean, if we as a band don't feel collectively strong about a song or a certain part, whatever, we will completely dismantle it, destroy it, and, you know, start. So, I mean, I guess that was so hard about writing this trying to, you know, not be like, well, that part's okay. Instead of settling for okay, we settled for that part amazing. So there was a lot more things involved on this round. That's what made it so hard. Really thought about it too much.
So, obviously, this is the band's fifth album. Was it maybe harder to write because the band didn't want to rehash one of the previous albums?
Well, I don't find that we really think like that. So just kind of go with our feeling. I mean, even though there might be some similarities in some of our past music, I mean, but that's what takes you to recognize for a band, I guess you could say, you know? So where you'll hear it, and you'll go, well, that's the Goldhorn part, you know? I mean, but as far as, you know, the actual old ideas, we never really kind of play with what we feel, and, you know, we'll analyze it later.
You said that there are elements on this new album which the band wouldn't normally do. What are these new elements which the band wouldn't normally go for then?
Well, I think there's actually, on this new one especially, there's a lot more, almost like a doom. Not necessarily saying that there's some slow stuff. I mean, there's stuff that is slower more than what we are normally used to doing. But I mean, as far as the vibe goes, there's very, on some of the songs, there's a very doomy kind of atmosphere that we never really tapped into before. And I feel it's coming through our music more now. But it's like I said, it's not necessarily a sludgy or doomy part, but it just has that doomy atmosphere, I just think. Where more, less, you know, hyperspeed, all that stuff, where we kind of got, you know, recognized for, but now it's more of settling in and creating an atmosphere.
Has, James's addition affected the sound at all then?
Oh, wait, did we sing it?
Has the addition of James on bass, like, affected the sound at all?
Oh, it's great. I mean, James fits into the band, you know, very, very well. I mean, I've been friends with him before he was in the band, you know, I've been friends with him for a very long time, so I knew that he would be the right guy for the job, and, you know, he's just, I find that he plays more with the band than our past bass players kind of wanted to stand out on themselves and not really lock in the music, to where James more, he locked in more with the music, instead of trying to, you know, go off on his own and do something that totally doesn't work, where he fits the band musically more outside now.
So essentially then, James is more of a team player then?
Absolutely. Not so much like, you know, instead of like trying to, you know, take things to his own hand, he'll try to go and make song better instead of, you know, trying to put a bass solo on top of a guitar riff. You know? He plays better with the band. Let's put it that way.
You also said of the new album that it still, despite like you mentioned like the doom influence, the album still definitely sounds like Goldhorn. What is that sound then? The Goldhorn sound? Like
the Goldhorn sound?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I can't really pinpoint that. It's just something that I guess you just hear, and if you're familiar with our music, you'll know what it sounds like. You know, and total of sound is just something that's extremely influenced by Celtic Frost, Venom, and Bathory, and but not trying to take that more extreme or staying in that old school vibe. And I guess essentially that is total of sound. It's a modern old school sound.
Okay. How would you compare this new one to the previous one?
The previous one, we worked really hard on trying to make that really, you know, just the best album we possibly could, just lyrically. On this one, I feel that we went more with our feelings and more with, you know, a vibe more than trying to concentrate on trying to make the sound a certain way instead of kind of going with what we felt the right thing. You know, instead of like constantly trying to focus on trying to make it sound a certain way, just kind of going with what we felt at the time and not really, you know, say, well, something that we would normally do, but it sounds good, so why not? So I guess that took on this doing good the last.
Does that mean then this is more of a natural album?
Absolutely. It's more of, there was a lot of, you know, jam, so it's where we just sat there, like I said, we weren't really focusing on a certain thing. We just kind of let music come out and not really, you know, concentrate on, well, it has to sound like it. Where we let things kind of flow and it worked, you know?
Okay. What does the title mean then? Blood for the Master.
What does the title mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're familiar with Hodor, and you're familiar with the thing about and what our lyric content is, I guess very self-explanatory.
Like Satan, I'm thinking of, or something. Is that right, though?
No, if that's the way you want to look at it, absolutely. I mean, the title means a lot of different things to different people. But, yes, essentially it is. For state, absolutely.
Okay. What are some of the topics that Falghost sings about on this record?
Well, you know, just the general things that he always, we really haven't, as far as the lyrics, we didn't really stray too far off the path that we normally go for. You know, it's basically, you know, the destruction of organized, you know, Christian religion, Satan, blood, death, you know, just, you know, all the good things that we always think about, our positive, uplifting message.
Okay. Is there a source of that, you mentioned, that anti-religious type thing, is there a reason for that, past experience or something, or is it just an opinion the band has, or?
I guess it's because, you know, when I was raised as a child, I was raised as a Catholic, and as, you know, if you all know, the Catholic religion is probably one of the worst religions in the world, and then my parents realized this, so they went more of a militant Christian religion, which was, another extreme form of Christian religion, and it was just forced down my throat my whole life, I guess you could say, and I guess that's why I have gestation for it, is because it was something that was bred in me that I didn't want any part of, and I knew that what the whole, you know, Catholic religion or Christian religion in general just wasn't for me. I just didn't feel as strongly about it as, you know, my parents did, and it was forced in me my whole life growing up. I guess that's why I hate it so much, and I have so much adoration for Satan, to where it's the complete opposite of what was forced down my throat my whole life.
What is it like then, living in society in America with religion? Like, cause I'm from like the United Kingdom, and to like religion doesn't seem to be as like influential as it is in the United States. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Christianity in the United States is a very powerful thing. I mean, it's a sad country that we live in, because everyone fears this certain force that they've never encountered, you know, is the fear of God. And I mean, I honestly have not met a person that has said they have met God or Jesus Christ or whatever, but they follow this so blindly, and such a huge thing in this country where it's like, show you how stupid people are, to where they are trying to follow something and be like, hey, let's be scared of the Easter Bunny, huge traps that comes around and gives you eggs every month, you know, once a year. And it's like, well, why not believe in that? Why can't that God? So why is that not something that you are so scared of, that you follow, that you feel you have to dedicate your life, you know? And I mean, most of these people are complete hypocrites, they instead, where, you know, they go to church on Sunday, and, you know, they're supporting Christ God, where Saturday night before, they were out whoremongering and drinking, doing drugs, and basically sinning, and I mean, living as a Satanist almost, and then going to church on Sunday and saying, oh, God, Father Jesus Christ, forgive me, I was a bad person last night. In actuality, they were actually living life themselves for once.
Even though you, obviously don't go, aren't a Christian then, do you believe God exists then, or do you believe like he just doesn't exist at all? Or
I believe in God, and I believe in Satan equally. But just because I believe in God doesn't mean that I have to like him very much, right?
Okay. When you say Satan, do you mean like spiritually, or?
Well, to me, Satan is more of a force of nature, to where I believe that, in my opinion, this is just what I believe in, as I believe that Satan, there's a little bit of Satan in everyone. I mean, I know the difference between right and wrong, of course. I try to be a good being, or let a good thing. You know, I'm not going to go around the street and beat the shit out of someone just because I can't. So I know the difference, right, wrong, but I believe that there's a little part of all of us, that anger. When you get mad at something and you get fully pissed off, and, you know, that whole feeling inside of you that you know you're doing something wrong, it can't grow it to be a state. And it's a part of all of us, and it's something that, you know, a lot of people try to suppress instead of embrace, you know, and me, I choose more to embrace that.
Do you feel that heaven and hell is more on earth as opposed to, like say, heaven being somewhere in the sky and hell being downstairs, so to speak? Like, it's more like those two things are here on earth as we speak?
Well, that's a very hard question to answer. I mean, how many people have you talked to that have died and went to heaven or hell? I mean, I honestly cannot see the human being that has died and come back and said, hey, it was this beautiful city of white, gold, or it was this horrible place on fire and I was being burned alive.
Mm.
Who knows what'll happen after we die, you know? Maybe we are in heaven and hell, you know? I mean, I guess we'll all find out after we die what's real and what's not.
Yeah, definitely. Tell me about this Motörhead cover, the band did for the Flexi Disc series that Decibel in America does.
Oh, yeah, Don't Need Religion. Well, I mean, it kind of just fell into place, and it just seemed like the right thing to do, because, I mean, we're all enormous Motörhead fans, and we always have been. And, I mean, we got offered to do the song, and we're like, well, instead of doing, like, the typical cliche, like, Bathory song, or Venom song, or Tulsa song, we're like, well, why don't we do a Motörhead song, you know? And the song just seemed like the right song to do, and it came out really good. We just did it like a day, just recorded it one afternoon, and it came out awesome, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a fitting choice, and like you said, it's not something that somebody could have predicted then, like an obvious choice.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we were kind of shooting for when we chose that song, which, you know, at the same time, it kind of fits in with what we're about, with the whole, you know, I mean, it